Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. It was just a few weeks ago that you and I talked about the new blood pressure screening recommendations. And part of that discussion was around how specialists and primary care doctors see the world slightly differently and why that might be. Today, you've got a poem. We're going to talk about colorectal screening. The guidelines come from three specialty societies. Before we get there, just quickly, no question that colorectal cancer is common and lethal, and we would love to sort of wipe it off the planet. Screening provides benefit. It meets all of the criteria in terms of removing premalignant adenomas that can progress to colorectal cancer. Colorectal cancer is a very important problem. It's the second most commonly diagnosed cancer in women, third most commonly diagnosed in men, accounts for, I think, between 700,000 and 800,000 deaths last year. The incidence and mortality rates have been slightly declining in the United States, probably as a result of screening interventions. Screening has also risen in the United States about 60% over the past 20 years. Colonoscopy was the most commonly used screening test, accounting for about 60% of all colorectal screening. Screening rates higher in adults who have insurance and have a usual source of medical care, those who have higher income levels. So lots of reasons for disparities in healthcare, lots of unequal access. Putting all of that aside for a moment, just to focus on the science of this, what are the recommendations regarding colorectal cancer from these three major U.S. gastroenterological groups?
Yeah, the task force recommends any of seven tests. And what I think this group adds, and I think these are generally sensible recommendations, is they say, well, wait a minute, you know, CT colonography isn't as well proven. Fecal occult blood testing isn't as good as FIT testing, fecal immunochemical testing. Cologuard costs a fortune and has lots of false positives. So they say tier one should be either regular FIT testing annually or colonoscopy every 10 years. That's the tier one go-to. If for some reason patients are unable to do one of those top two, then they say, okay, consider colonography or Cologuard or FlexSig as secondary options. And I think I like that actually better than the task force recommendation, because it really clearly says, you know, we got these two where there's probably the best evidence. There are some ongoing randomized trials, including one from the VA. There's several in Europe where they are randomizing patients to FIT versus colonoscopy, so we can really get some good evidence in terms of which one may be better overall. Certainly the FIT-based strategies are probably more efficient. The question is, are they absolutely as good as the colonoscopy or not? What I like about this guideline also is that they also make some recommendations for special and high-risk groups, mostly based on expert opinion and observational data, but seem reasonable at least. So for patients with familial colorectal cancer syndrome X, they recommend colonoscopy every 3 to 5 years, beginning 10 years before the age at diagnosis of the youngest relative with colorectal cancer. For patients with colorectal cancer or advanced adenoma in a single first-degree relative, so parent or sibling, diagnosed at 60 years or older, they recommend starting a little sooner at age 40. So this is not a randomized trial based, this is, you know, kind of a expert based thing. But if you have a patient who has a family member with colorectal cancer or advanced adenoma, in those who have two first degree relatives or one relative younger than 60, they say do colonoscopy every 5 years, beginning at age 40 or 10 years before the age of the first diagnosis. They also recommend screening begin at age 45 for African American patients. All of those recommendations I just covered are, quote, weak recommendations with very low quality evidence. So while they kind of make sense, they are not something that is based on, you know, the as high a standard of evidence as we would ideally like. But on the other hand, it may not be, we may not have that kind of evidence for a long time, if ever. Mm-hmm. So this guideline used a consensus approach. They did look at other systematic reviews and other guidelines. It's generally consistent with the USPSTF recommendations for average risk patients. What it adds is some additional recommendations for somewhat more intensive, somewhat earlier screening in higher risk patients. And you can, you know, that's something that these guidelines, I don't know if that becomes a standard of care, but it's something certainly to be aware of. And for patients who have some of these familial syndromes or high family history risk, we may want to consider starting a bit earlier for their screening.
It does seem as though this screening is having a difference. I mean, we're seeing lower rates of colorectal cancer, not a precipitous drop, but a significant drop over the past 20 years.
Colorectal cancer screening is really a home run. If you look at 1,000 patients who are screened versus 1,000 who aren't screened, you gain 250 quality adjusted life years. And that's a lot. That's a lot more than most other kinds of cancer screenings that we do. And it's basically, you know, again, based on randomized trials and modeling data, probably prevent 1.5 to 2 colorectal cancer deaths for every 100 people screened. So that's a big benefit.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. We will talk with you again next week.
Look forward to it. Good.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.